It's good to see you today. We welcome you. What if God gave you one wish? And this is not some kind of genie that you rub the lamp and it comes out, but we're talking about the Lord. Is there a place in Scripture where someone did get that, was challenged by God, said, "Here, I'll let you have one thing, you say it." Is there a person? Solomon. Go read the story. Today's message is entitled, "If God Gave You One Wish." In 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 15, hear what it says from New Living Translation. "And that night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, 'What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you.' Solomon replied, 'You showed faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. You have continued your faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?' The Lord was pleased at Solomon and asked for wisdom. So God replied, 'Because you've asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice, have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I'll give you what you ask for. I'll give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has had or ever will have. I'll also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life.'" And boy, was that true. You look at a map of how God expanded Israel at that time. It was magnificent. "Now, if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I will give to you a long life." Then Solomon woke up and realized that it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, where he sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings. And then he invited all of his officials to a great banquet. What a story. Let's pray. Now, Lord, we do invite you to come now. Come, may we hear your voice clearly and plainly. Lord, I ask that you would remove every distraction from us today. Lord, we pray for all those who are here gathered. I thank you for them, that you have gotten them here today in the middle of summer. And for all those that are traveling, and our congregation is scattered over several states today, we ask traveling mercy for them. Ask that you would bring them home safely. In the name of Jesus, we pray. So what would you do? Here's Solomon, the son of David, and he is, God speaks to him. If you read, you know, we've been talking about him a lot as we've been talking about revival for several weeks now, and how God prepared the people. He prepared Israel for this king and for the building of the temple, that they would finally have a permanent place there in Jerusalem to build this temple. And you see all of his prayers. I hope you have noted that as you've read and kept up with all the prayers of Solomon. I mean, he's probably got to have more copy than anyone else as far as prayers that are written down in the Scripture. But he's given this opportunity. He's given this privilege to make one request of God. And he asked for wisdom. If you read on in the passage, following that story is a story of the two women who come to him, you know, they have babies at about the same time, and one of them rolls over on her child during the night. The child dies, and that woman during the night realizes the child is dead, and she goes and steals the other woman's child and brings it into her room, and she puts her dead child there with that woman. Other woman wakes up. They wake up the next morning. She realizes this child is dead. And then she realizes this is not even her child. And so the case is brought before Solomon. And he's just asked God for wisdom. And God has given him wisdom. And it shows by the way he answers the women. They come with a case before him. And he very wisely then asks the question. He said, well, both of you are claiming that the live child is yours and the dead child is not. So here's how we'll decide it. We'll just cut the child in half. And the one who is not the mother says, okay. And the other woman, as soon as she hears that, she says, oh no, give her the child. Of course, it is revealed then who the true mother is. A simple story we look at and say, oh, that's just... Anybody could do that, but could you do that when you're put on the spot? Because see, the thing about wisdom is, and this gift that Solomon had, is that it's something that's constantly in use. And you never know where the challenge is or what direction it's going to come from. You've got to constantly be listening to the Lord. Well, Solomon asked for this wisdom for his nation because he realized the place he was in. Let's get to the application points about the story, John, as we fill out the story. As I look at this story, and I think about Solomon, think about the place that he's in, and then the place we're in each day. He had to be listening to God in all the ways that he speaks, because if you're not careful, you'll miss in the story at the beginning. It's a dream. God is speaking to him in a dream. Now, we've got a whole class that we've been doing at 9:30 on Hearing the Voice of God. So it'd be very hard for me just in a nutshell to just tell you all the ways that God speaks. But he speaks in many different ways. He speaks through His Word. He speaks through other people. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through signs and wonders. He speaks through certain circumstantial data. He speaks through dreams. He speaks through the prophets. He speaks through the gifts of the Spirit. He speaks through, and then dot, dot, dot. The point is, He speaks. In this case, Solomon was paying attention, and it's during a dream they speak. Let me ask you this. Are you listening to God? You know, God may be inviting you every day. He may be giving you one wish every day. But if you're not listening to His voice, you don't know what's going on, do you? You see, all this that happens in this story is presupposed on the fact that he began by listening to God. You think about the things that are going on in your life right now. Maybe instead of worry about those things, maybe the beginning place, what is God saying to me? Because if this is the set of circumstances I'm going through right now, and I don't know what your circumstances are, and some of you, I know some things on the outside that I can see that you've shared, but what are those circumstances or things within you that are happening right now? Do you think God knows about them? So when He speaks to you, don't you believe He's going to address that in some way when He speaks? May not be able to make the correlation. You might be like my doctor had to tell me one day. I said, Dr. Griffin, when I do this, it hurts. Guess what he told me? Stop doing it. Some of these things are just so obvious, but we need someone else to tell us. All right, secondly, God desires to bless us. In the story, we see God desired to bless Solomon. How? Well, if you read it, I mean, just this one request that he gives him, he's wanting to bless him. I wonder how many of us got up this morning thinking, I don't know if I can depend on God today. Or by your very attitude, the way that you live your life, thinking, man, I don't know that I can depend on God, because we've got this idea that maybe in our minds that in some way God's this ogre that sits up in the sky and he revels in our discomfort and in our pain and suffering. Audrey and I were watching a movie last night, and guys were burying a friend, and looked at one guy and said, "Do you have some words?" He says, "No, I don't have anything to say," and he used an expletive. There is another person that is attributing all the bad things in his life to God. Have you done that before? Have you? God, why'd you do this to me? When have we consulted God? When God's ultimate desire, you read the scripture, you read the story, you see the life of Solomon, you see the nation of Israel. God's desire was to bless them. As a parent, let me ask you this. Is your desire to curse or to bless your children? What is it? Do your kids always understand that your desire is to bless them? What do they think that is happening sometimes? Oh man, they don't like me. They won't let me do whatever I want to do. Look both ways before you go out in the traffic. How often did you hear that growing up? It became very obvious to me when I'm 6 inches from the hood ornament on a 4,000-pound vehicle in front of our house. All those times. God's desire is to bless you. Are you blessable? Are you putting yourself in a place to be blessed by God? Let me tell you, if you're ignoring His voice, you're also ignoring His blessing. Number three, God wants to give us more spiritual gifts than we have now. He wants to give you more than you have right now. Look me in the eye. He wants to give you more. What does it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1? Desire earnestly spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Spiritual gifts are not static. He wants to give you more. He wants to bless you more. He wants to make of you more than you are today. He's got a plan for your life. And you may have settled for whatever lie the evil one has whispered to you. And many times that lie comes through people in our lives, some that should not be lying to us like that. Like a parent telling a child, "You'll never amount to nothing." Or a teacher saying to a student, "Oh, you're never going to just forget it. You're never going to get it." I'll never forget this. Long as I got mononucleosis between 7th and 8th grade. I was 5'7". At the time I got sick, I only weighed 90 pounds. I got down to 80 pounds. 5'7". Think about it. I was a sick puppy. My doctor said to me, "Dusty, son, I'll give you a choice." Old Dr. Peterson. He said, "Either you can go home and do what your mama says, or I'm putting you in the hospital. Somebody will watch you around the clock." I thought about it, and I said, "I think I'll go home with Mom." After a few weeks, the school system decided, I was the first homeschooler in our neighborhood. I got homeschooled for the balance of my time that the new year started. And I love my teacher. She'd come in back. She was a great history buff. I think today that's part of, she fueled some of that in me, and she there helped me understand world history. Just, I, I got a, I got the basics of it, how it all worked and put together. She wasn't as good on science and math, but those were strengths of mine, so it was great. But one day, she was leaving our house, and my mom was talking about, was asking her, and I overheard the conversation. Said, "Is Dusty going to be ready to get back?" "Oh, yeah, he'll be ready to get back in school. He'll be fine." And they got to talking about school, and she said, "Yes, and there are some whiz kids over at that school." Now, I don't know that my homebound teacher meant it this way. That door hadn't shut good, but my mother was in there, and she was looking at me, and she said, "Dusty, son, I don't know what you just heard, but I want you to know you can do anything." Now think about that. One of the two most significant people in your life, and they look at you and say, "You can do anything." Now you talk about jet fuel. I mean, to this day, I can remember what her, as she told me that. It was one of those significant moments that you get as a parent. Hear me today. The devil wants to sit on your neck. God says to you, "I want to give you more." Do you want to receive more? Or do you want to continue to jack around with how things are now, doing it your way? Number four, you can't outgive God. Here is Solomon, and he decides to ask for something, and we're going to talk about it in the next point. He decides to ask for something that he knows is going to be in the wheelhouse of what he needs to serve God in the place God's put him. And what does he find out? He can't outgive God. When he gives that commitment to the Lord, when he turns and gives that to the Lord, what does the Lord do? That opens up the windows of heaven because he smiles on obedience. He smiles on humility. It brings everything that he has to bear for you and for me. He can't outgive him. That's why that we say when we do this every week, we make it a part of worship. Given to the Lord. There's some of us sitting here, the reason you're having financial problems is because you haven't got this part right yet. And you're going to continue to have financial problems because you haven't got this part right. That first part belongs to God. Well, it all belongs to Him, and it's a gift to us. You say, "Well, I worked for it." Come on now. Come on. Come on, who gave you the energy? Who gave you the place? Who gave you the position? Who put you where you are? We'll talk about that in just a moment too. Number five, we must measure, now get this one, this is probably my favorite point in the whole sermon. We must measure where God has planted us. Some of us are always living somewhere else. Where's God put you? Right now. I'm not talking about you saying, "Well, where's he put you? Right now. Where are you planted right now? What are you doing with that opportunity? "Well, I want to be somewhere else. I want to live there. I want to have that job." And there's this where we're never at peace with things in our life. Now, granted, I know we need goals, we need things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about embracing the place and the position where you are and see what God, where it may lead. Because until you establish where you are on the map, you're lost. You got to know that place. So, how's that having anything to do with the message about Solomon? It goes back to what he asked for. Look at what he asked for. He measured where he is in his prayer. Remember? He says, I'm David's son. David isn't the one that you appointed to build the temple. He appointed me. You appointed me. You have put me in this place. He started where God put him. Where are you starting today? You can't start from that other place. You got to start right here. Right where you are. Whatever age you are, whatever station you are in life. That's where. And so his request of God came out of that. Well, God, I'm looking at this. How am I going to do this? And so his request comes under God's sovereignty and under God's leadership and God's purpose for his life. He asked for wisdom. What would you ask for? Number six, let's tune our lives to his plan to see the great grace blessing. You see what Solomon did? He tuned in to the God frequency in his life and he saw the greatest blessing that came out of that. And the things that normally man would put as primary became ancillary to him. God said, well, you asked for wisdom and that is a blessing to me. And so I'm going to give you fame and fortune on top of that. And boy, did he. Number seven. God gets in a language at the end of this that he can understand. Some of God's blessings have conditions. Verse 13, 14. I'll give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. By the way, let me just ask you, no other king in the world, and that was true at that time, no other kingdom in the entire world rivaled the riches, the position of Israel at that time. Did y'all study that in history anywhere? Did you study? Study all about Solomon in your school classroom? Was that a subject there? I want to ask you, why? Because it was X'd out of your history as not being important. Yet it is a fact of life. Another sermon for another day. Some of his blessings have conditions. Verse 14. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I will give you a long life. Another place he says that you'll never lack for an heir on the throne. But what happened later on in Solomon's life? He didn't serve God, didn't listen to God. So when Solomon dies, you know what happened to the kingdom? Divided into a northern and southern kingdom. His blessings have conditions. And hear me on this. Lock and load right now. Lock and load on this. Your decisions have consequences. And not just for you. Finally, God will constantly renew us if we let Him. In fact, that was the whole message that we've read those passages from 2 Chronicles now here in 1 Kings, we see the passages that God's saying, hey, when you mess up, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then while I hear from heaven, I will heal their land. He'll come. He'll come. Maybe screwed it up, but he's a God of grace and mercy. He desires to help us. God says to you today, I'll give you one request. What would it be? What would you ask? What would you ask? Just a moment, we're going to pray and I want to say to you two things. One, if you've never received Jesus into your life, today's the day. You've never accepted Him as Lord and Savior of your life, publicly professed your faith in Him, He said that He would come into your life. If you invited Him. Day's the day. Second thing. This message today. What will you ask of God? Your request will say a lot. Altar will be open today. Dane and I will be down here. If you want to pray with one of us today, we'll be here, but it's open for you to come. Come and spend some time with the Lord. Let's pray. Now, Lord, today I thank you that you hear and answer us, that you're with us right here. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Come now. Come. Lord, let us hear your voice clearly and plainly right now. What you're saying to us, how you want to move in us. Thank you. The altar's open. George Washington did not want to be president of the United States. Did you know that? He resisted. But I want you to look back. No, he wasn't a perfect man by any stretch. All the ways this union could have gone, he embraced where he was. And the rest is history, part of our history. I invite you today to do that where you are. Go from that place. Babe Ruth was another one. You know, Babe Ruth probably could have been a Hall of Fame pitcher. But only got to play every 4 days. And found out what a great hitter he was. The rest is history. Where's God planted you? He's inviting you. Ask. Ask. Baskets are up front and in the back. Let's use them right now as part of our worship. Look this way, if you will. Just want to remind you, it's the middle of summer, and I want to invite you to look at your giving record up to this point. We have no expense as a body that takes a vacation. We go on vacation. Nothing we have goes on vacation. In fact, it might go up a little bit sometime because of some other things. So I remind you of that. And I send you out in the name of Jesus. Remember, next Sunday is what? Camp Sunday. Dress accordingly. Just don't wear your bathing suit. Dane, don't wear your bathing suit. We're going to have fun here next Sunday. It's going to be a great time. And then we're going to go to the park afterwards for picnic. Bring you lunch. We're not providing lunch for you. But if you want to provide lunch for somebody else, I like fried chicken. So just anything. And I prefer Popeyes. Red beans and rice, if you're going by there. Those are all the food group. And shrimp fried rice is good too, Donna. But always. I never miss an opportunity, Masako. All right. Let me send you out in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, send us out. Lord, it is a world of a lot of problems, but we have the who. Who is the answer? It is you, Lord. Immerse us, baptize us anew in yourself, and send us out under the authority of you, Yahweh, our Father, the love of Jesus, you, the Son, and in the power of you, the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.